This is the gospel. This is the good news. Every sin was taken by him in his body. Every one of our sins and forgiven forevermore. And we were made righteous. Complete grace of God. What does that mean, righteous? Justified. Just as if I've never sinned. And God said, I want you healed. I want you well. I want to provide healing. So here's a sin problem, and I've taken care of it. I'm taking it out of the way. And I demand you don't pay for it. And I demand that you do not try to do things to make up for. What I demand is, you believe my son Jesus did it. Amen? Gospel. Good news. Let me tell you what isn't good news. If you do this, 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 then God will. I can't do this, 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 this. Look it, folks. If you could get rid of your sin, you wouldn't need Jesus. And some people believe that. I remember one time that I got to bragging with the Lord, and I said, "Boy, Lord," I took a look at myself for a moment. I try to limit that to only 1 minute increments. So I took a look at myself and looked pretty good. So I go to the Lord and I start telling him how good I'm doing. You know, it wasn't 2 hours. I was into a knockdown, drag-out fight. Not physically, but strife galore. I started it. And then I go from there and I go to another situation. And I can't think of what to do and whatever. And finally, long story short for the day, I go back to the Lord and the Lord says to me, how you doing? I said, not so good. And here's what he told me. And it was in a voice like, you listen to what I'm telling you. Don't you ever bring that self-righteousness to me again. Ever. I said, you got it. Why do, and I've had it happen so many times, person comes in, they're actually drunk to a meeting or whatever, and they're sick and that, and they hear the word and so forth and so on. They come stumbling up there and God heals them, delivers them. They go from drunk to sober like in 10 seconds and all that, and they're praising God and all the rest of it. And the other person comes up and says, you know, I've been wanting God to heal me, and I don't understand it. You know, I've been in my church for 22 years. I've been an usher for 22 years. I've been faithful to do this, and I've been faithful to do that. And I said, that's why you're not healed. You think God owes it to you. You don't owe you nothing. Have you not read in Isaiah where our righteousness is a filthy rags to him? That's why he said to me, don't bring that self-righteousness to me ever again. You know, every time I hear the words, yeah, but, Lord, come out of my mouth, I don't want to hear the rest. I stop because something's coming up that is not good. Amen. And we fall into it so easily. You know why? Because we who have been born again into the kingdom of God and we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we don't get trapped or stumble over the bad stuff. We stumble over the good stuff. The good thing we did. Like when I was saying to the Lord, boy, I'm doing good. Not as good as you think. What was the problem? His grace. His grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, not I, but the grace of God that's with me. I've labored more than you all. It wasn't me. This is the reason why so many people in the body of Christ are still suffering with sickness and so forth and so on. Because they've allowed a brand of self-righteousness to get in their heart where they believe that, yeah, I was really wrecked and everything before I came to Jesus, but look at how much better I am now. Therefore, God should love me more. God should accept me more. God should heal me more. God should supply more. Beep, wrong answer. It's almost as if the enemy cleverly flips it over. How about we agree that we're going to live after the cross? After Jesus' resurrection and not before. The before ones had to earn everything. Huh? If you do all this, then I'll bless you. If you follow everything, then I'll bless you. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. None of us can stand before God just over the last week and say we've done everything that He has commanded. Good news, though, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous. The blood of Jesus puts us in right standing with God. And God deals with us as if we have done His entire will all our life. Self-righteous spirits go crazy when they hear this. You know? We're called to preach the gospel. The gospel, glad tidings. Now, let me say this about the gospel. It's a Greek word. It does mean good news. But when you look in the classical Greek where that word came from, whenever there was a battle going on, war back in the Greek times, you know, we've heard about Alexander the Great before Jesus and so forth, and there was battles and they would have these wars and all that, the generals who always stayed back, they would send out the scouts because the battle was down there. They couldn't see the battle going on, so they send the scouts out, just look at the battle, come back and report. And they call that the good news. So they sent the scouts out to gather the good news and bring it back. Now, the only good news that was good news is when the scouts came back and said, total victory, we've won. It wasn't good news if you send more troops and try real hard, we might win. They want to hear that. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? Of Jesus Christ, the good news. He's won. Total victory. Everywhere. The enemy is defeated. Amen. Sin is defeated. Amen. One, good news, Jesus. See, in order for good news by itself doesn't mean anything until you attach it to something. The good news of Jesus. The good news of comes from. The good news that came from Jesus. The good news. If there's Eagle fans or sports fans here, you know, on a Sunday when the Eagles are playing, and afterwards, if you didn't see the game, you ask somebody what happened in the game, you're waiting to hear good news. What's the good news of the Eagles? They won. What's the bad news? Unfortunately, been a lot of bad news the last couple of years. They didn't win. So if we're not constantly representing the victory that Jesus won on the cross, if we're not constantly representing or representing that victory over and over and over and all that it accomplished all the time, we're not declaring the gospel. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And here's the best part of the good news, freely.
Yeah.
It's a gift. I have never yet seen anybody who received gifts on their birthday claim they did something for them. They just happened to be born that day. And the family celebrating the birth. You and I, when we receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, we're born into the family. God becomes our Father. We're in the family. What does that mean?
We get the gift.
Get the gift.
I get the gift.
And you and I, when we were born into this earth, I've never heard anybody stand up and say, you know, I worked real hard to be born into this earth. No credit there.
Right.
What's the response from the mother to that? Yeah, right. Amen. You're born into the kingdom. You're born into the family of God. You're born in, and that entitles us to the entire inheritance. But we can't stand up and say, boy, I worked real hard to get here. And we can't stand up afterwards and say, gee, I'm working real hard to stay here. But there were people that went into Galatia and Corinth and they were teaching that. Oh, yeah, you got born in, but now you have to work real hard to stay here. Let me ask you a question. Are your parents still your parents? Is your brother and sister in the flesh, in the normal, still your brother and sister? How many of you have worked real hard to keep your parents your parents? No. Why? Because I was born into the family. It is irreversible, no matter what you do. It's on the record. Amen? Why do we change that in the body of Christ? Hey, I got flash news for you. You know what else is good news? You don't pick your brothers and sisters in the Lord either. Huh? And you know what? They always will be. You can get in strife, get angry, be unforgiving toward them. They're still your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Same Father. So, you know, that might be good to get a hold of that and understand that. And that go a long way in how we relate even in the body of Christ. They don't believe the way I believe. Doesn't matter. That got nothing to do with it. Have they received Jesus as Lord? Did they believe Jesus, Son of God? They born again? Doesn't matter from that point on. The only thing I grieve over on the ones that are arguing with where healing is concerned in different things, I have no problem in any way, shape, or form, fellowship and understanding their brothers and sisters. I just grieve because they stay sick. You don't have to. Now, I don't believe that. I believe healing passed away with the early church. Okay. I'm not here to convince you otherwise or try to make you believe the way that I believe. I just feel bad because with that, you're going to be sick all the time. And you don't have to be. You know, the world believes and does not understand that you have a choice whether to be sick or not. The whole world functions under this lie. I don't have a choice. It's just the way it is. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. You all might be at a disadvantage because I don't have my watch on. All right. Oh, yeah. Wisdom there on the back row.
Deuteronomy 30?
Yes. That means we've got a couple of minutes. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I'm going to close it with this scripture. Everybody there? I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Question, whose choice is it then? He says, I put blessing and cursing in front of you. I put life and death in front of you. You choose. You choose. Then he gives us a hint of the right answer. He says, choose life. That you and your descendants may live. Amen. So, if you will understand, and the reason I bring this up, please understand about the sovereignty of God. That's a big one. The enemy has gone through for years and years. God just does everything he wants to do. You know, if God wants to heal me, he can heal me. He's sovereign after all. If God wants to take care of that need, I mean, he's sovereign. You know, it's his sovereign will. That's just a twisted way to blame God. That's all it is. Goes all the way back to the garden with Adam. Adam, the wife you gave me, she did it. No, he did it, Adam. She was deceived. He knew what he was doing. Ate the fruit. He chose. So it was his responsibility. You see that? Here's the sovereignty of God. God created everything sovereignly. What does that mean? At the counsel of his own will. He didn't call a committee together. Praise the Lord for that. And he created everything, and he created everything how it works. He put all the spiritual principles in place. He put everything in place when he created all of creation, mankind, and everything at his sovereign will. Amen? You see that? Now he's placed before us choices. Do we receive his wisdom? Do we choose to do that wisdom? Do we choose to learn the spiritual principles and put those into operation in our life? Do we choose to do those things? Do we understand that God made words to have power? That whoever so believes the things that he says, still have them. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24, 25. He sovereignly put that in place. Now, for me to look at that and say, well, I don't believe that's the way it works at all. You know, I think that it works. It doesn't work that way. Oh, that is another, that's nonsense, and so forth and so on. As I begin to do that, now I'm coming against the sovereignty of God. I want to change it from the way that he created it. Man does that all the time. The word says he created man and woman to be man and woman. We have a society out there that says, we're not going to abide by that. I want the women to act like men and the men to act like women. Huh? Well, what are they actually doing? Going against the sovereignty of God because God created all creation the way that he created it. Well, there's always a price to pay or a consequence for that. So if I don't understand that the words that I speak and I believe them in my heart, they come to pass in my life, then the enemy comes in, takes that principle, causes us to put it into effect opposite, a negative way. How many of you heard in your life somebody say to you something and then it happened and they'll go, see, I told you. I was right. What'd they just do? They put into operation that principle. They had exactly what they said. And usually it ain't good. Why? Because the principles of God always work. Can you see that? So today he puts before you blessing and cursing. He puts before you life and death, you choose. What are you choosing?
Life.
I choose life. Well, if I'm choosing life, then I'm choosing what God said to be true. You need physical healing. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You can receive that anytime. Anytime. And you don't work for it. You believe it. How do I receive everything from God? By faith. I believe it. I remember I went on the 3-day fast. I wanted a word from God. I wanted a word from God. I had 3 days of fasting and I'm waiting for this word from God. You know, don't get caught in the trap that sometimes we get caught in. We get an idea of how God's going to do it or what he's going to say, and usually it isn't that way. Right? And the Lord spoke to me at the end of the 3rd day, and he said, believe on me who he has sent. That's it? And I thought, it's in John right there written down. I wouldn't have had to miss a meal. Just read it. But there was a reason that he gave that to me, because I went back there and said, Lord, that sounded real simple. Yes, but are you doing it? Are you believing? Do you believe? Now here's believe in your heart versus believe in your mind, mental. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, how many do? Okay? You don't have to see him to know it's true. If I believe in my heart, by Jesus' stripes I am healed, now I'm at the place where I don't have to see to know it's true. I've gone from seeing to believe to believing and then seeing. Remember Thomas? Unless I touch him, unless I feel him, even after the his buddies told him, we saw the Lord, the Lord's alive, the Lord is resurrected from the Lord, I won't believe it until I touch him. Jesus shows up. Touch me, Thomas. Feel the wounds. And then Jesus said, blessed is he who doesn't see and believes. You believe because you saw. Everything comes to pass in our life at beginning with believing in our heart. And before we believe in our heart, we must hear it. We must hear it. He taught them and healed them. He preached to them and he healed them. Amen? You're welcome. Amen? Hear, believe. You say, well, what if it isn't happening? What if it's not, quote unquote, manifesting? What if it's not visible? You go back and check up in your heart. Because the moment you say something opposite, the moment that you're tricked into doing something opposite, you don't believe in your heart. So what do? I don't get down on myself, beat myself up. I go back. Work on my heart to believe. Amen? Do you understand that? It begins by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart he's raised from the dead. But let me tell you something that's happening in the body of Christ to a great degree and something we're called to deal with and to go after. There's a lot of people, for God, Jesus is raised from the dead and live like it, that he's not. I gotta believe in my heart he's raised from the dead and he's alive before I use the name of Jesus and know there's power behind it. Part of the communion. Do it in remembrance that he's alive. Part of the tithing. Hebrews chapter 7. Every time that I do that, I acknowledge he's alive. How can you tithe to a high priest who's dead? Amen. Now that verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to ask you that are here, those verses, you go over those verses. You work on those verses. You go over those verses because that is a disciple passage of scripture. That you're not going to be so easily swayed and you're not going to be so easily letting a spirit come through the teaching that goes on. With TV, with internet, with everything that's going on, okay, is quite easy to get trapped into something. And Paul says that is a spirit, not the Holy One, and you may well put up with it. And there's the danger. That word put up with in the Greek, very important to understand what that actually means. It means you accept it. Now, accepting is more than receiving. To take hold of. Take up. To take up. To receive or grant access to a visitor, to receive into one's family, to bring up or educate, of the thing offered in speaking, teaching, and instructing, to receive favorably, give ear to, embrace, make one's own, approve, not to reject, to take upon oneself, sustain, endure, to learn. So when that person, that congregation or those people accept that spirit, This is what happens. And our growth and our receiving from the Lord is very dependent on how much we accept and how much that we reject individually. How much do I believe just because I heard someone else say it? Man, I hear a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching that's preached and taught because they heard someone else say it. And it's wrong. It won't stand the test of Scripture. Amen? I'm talking to you right now as disciples. Not just saved people. Not multitude. As people that want to get after it. The multitudes walk in deception all the time. Even the ones who get healed, even the ones who receive from God from time to time. But they're dealing in areas of deception all the time in their life. Because they haven't chosen to be a disciple of Jesus. They've just kind of chosen to go along. Jesus ministered to the multitudes, but he taught and trained the disciples. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries, not them, of the kingdom. To you it's been given to know the wisdom of God, not them. I found it interesting out of, we know at one point 20,000 men, women, and children got fed. So 20,000 were listening to him. I found it interesting when he sent them out two by two, it was only 70. See, there's local churches and there's local churches. And yes, we make provision for the multitudes. We minister to them. God healed them. He preached to them. He gave them the good news. Loved them. Had compassion. But it was the disciples that he committed himself to. Amen? Are you one? Are you a disciple of Jesus? That is a different realm. If you're a disciple of Jesus and you make that determination that you are, then like the disciples of the early church, they said none of their possessions was their own. They said none of the possessions were their own. Everybody know that? Should we look at Acts? Do we need to see the verse or not? Don't say no just because you want to be in. Amen. If you really need to see it, that's my point. We have time. Okay? They said they had no possessions of their own. You're a disciple? Are you ready to say that? You ready to say that to the Lord? I say, Lord, I have no possessions of my own. It all belongs to you. You give that some thought a minute. There are many that say, well, I've done that. No, I didn't say to do it. I said, have you said it? Well, in my heart, I've done that. No. I'm not talking about in your heart. I'm saying, have you said it out of your mouth to the Lord? So you think about that a second. Well, I've already said it. Doesn't matter. It's here now. Now's the time. Okay? Did you make that decision? Stand up. Now, what I'd like to do is to let you know God always takes you at your word. Remember that. He always takes you at your word, even though he knows what's going to happen. He's God-like that way. He can deal with us in the moment and be very pure in his dealings in the moment. I've heard people say this, well, God can't give me $1 million because he knows down the road it'll ruin me. That's a lie. He deals with us when?
Now.
Now, in the moment. Another lie from the enemy. I've heard that 100 times. God keeps me poor because he knows the money would ruin me. No. You're the one who has the problem. You think it'll ruin you. God's not a fool. He ain't dumping $1 million on anybody who hasn't been faithful with the first 100. Right? I mean, I said, you talk about my God that way? I said, that's offensive. That you can think for a minute you can con him. And they talk about it like you can con God. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning, I'm going to ask you to say that individually, one at a time. And you're saying it to the Lord. Amen. Lord, I say right now, all of my possessions, everything that you have given me, I say now, I do not have possession or ownership over, I give it to you. And I follow you.